Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon. And Shay, did you know that Harold Perkins and I were both sick today? So we're basically the same, Harold and I. Coming into work, even though we're sick and performing at a high level, it's what we do.
You tried to steal the flu game thunder. I'll give it to you there at least. At least you put on record that you had the flu
before the game
started. Harold waited till after to just mention. He didn't even do it. Brian Kelly had a great quote. He said it after the game and talked about Harold having the flu and saying MJ had the flu in one of his biggest games. And Harold responded, "Who's MJ?" And Brian Kelly laughed at how old he's getting. But someone went and asked and said, "Did you say you had the flu?" And Brian Kelly said, "Yeah, the flu. Doesn't matter." And he looked down at the stats. He goes, 4 sacks. Won us the game.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know how often I say this about someone on defense. If Harold Perkins didn't play today, I'm not sure LSU would have won the game. It would have been different. It would have looked a lot different.
You can – and we'll get into it in a second. But there's – in a game where – it felt like there were a lot of different moments that could have defined the game. Harold Perkins ended up making the plays that did define the game. And LSU ends up pulling out a 13-10 win over Arkansas in Fayetteville. They win the Battle of the Boot after losing it last year. I mean,
nobody cares about that trophy.
the giant trophy that takes three people to carry. I mean, just a really ugly game. I mean, it was cold, I guess, but by the time the players were in the second half, you know, it was probably like 40-something degrees. I don't know where to start. Great defensive game. Offense really struggled just as far as generalities go. But I think you have to start with Harold Perkins with one of the best games from any defender that I can remember as far as recent – LSU history goes, and you are far more established than I am, so I'll let you kind of.
Oh, I mean, you're looking at a guy who impacts the game like Tyrann Mathieu used to. I mean, he is just so unbelievable in terms of how they use him and then how that translates to disrupting what the offense wants to do, whether he's spying the quarterback, whether it's just making plays in the backfield. He's special. I mean, that's what a 5-star looks like, and boy, that's what the number one linebacker in the country looks like. And just think, he's 10 games in, or what? Yeah, 10 games into a freshman year. Yep. You've got years of football still ahead of you. And Brian Kelly talked about that like early in the year when everyone was saying, just put Harold Perkins out there as the best player on the team. Just put him at linebacker. And they started him as an edge rusher and really just said, go get the quarterback. And then they graduated that into a bigger role. And Brian Kelly said after the game, he said, look, he's light years different than he was when we started. When we started, it was, I'm running around this guy and I'm going to make a play. And I didn't realize that I left this gap wide open and they've now chunked off a big run on me. Yeah. He said that his gap discipline has grown so much that his understanding of the game was already there. The talent was already there. And you can see how he processes it now. It gets better every week. It was one of the best performances I've seen from an LSU defender in a long time. It reminded me of the Mathieu years of just how one guy can totally change the outcome of a game.
Yeah, I mean, 8 tackles, 4 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and both the forced fumbles were huge, pivotal moments. The first one especially where it looked like LSU was – I mean, they were. LSU's offense the entire game struggled, was inept. And what does Harold Perkins do? He ends up forcing a fumble on Malik Hornsby, and Malik Hornsby is – one of, if not the fastest quarterback players playing the quarterback position in the country. And he chases him down, forces a fumble. LSU, I believe, gets 3 points off of that. And then late in the game on last possession, when they punt it back to Arkansas, when they only need 1 yard, when they were at 30, I think it was something like that. They punt it and you're like, okay, they convert, get a first down here. You're like, all right, there's still a lot of time left. Harold Perkins comes off the edge, forces a fumble, and they end up winning the game. And then there was the fumble that he almost forced. That was
got it overturned
as well. Just completely, I mean, like you said, dominated the game, came up with the plays, and just was.
Yeah, he gets the call, which was a correct call, I guess. The quarterback's arms are moving forward. It's the old tuck rule or whatever, you know, type thing. Your arm's moving forward while you're getting hit. It's coming out. They take it back. The next possession, he goes out and does the same thing, except he gets there quicker this time and hits him before his arm goes forward, seals the win. He was spectacular. And I know we'll talk about the defense as a whole. And like, this is a reaction pod. We go a lot longer on our normal pod, so we're not going to hit on everything. But I do want to say that Baskerville, Penn, and Perkins were amazing. This Penn has taken his lumps this year. People have banged on Greg Penn. I've said it before. It's a lot like how people thought of Damone Clark early in his career, where it just seemed like, hey, he was the guy you're pointing to and saying that's where things are going wrong in certain spots. I just had talked to too many people that have faith in Greg Penn that think, and Matt House, clearly as a defensive coordinator, is one of them, has never taken him off the field. Penn had an awesome game. Baskerville's going to – he's going to play – what's great about Baskerville is you get the same thing every game. He's going to lead the middle of the defense. He's going to be very sound. He can play in the pass and run. You don't have to take him off the field. Now you got Harold Perkins doing this. Toss and Penn, those guys were great. I thought those three linebackers, those three went a long, long, long way to LSU winning this football game.
Yeah, and Arkansas's only touchdown was on the big pass play. once they put the third string quarterback in, Fortin, he ends up.
And that came after a 3rd and 17 where they pop it into traffic and he catches it. And then after a couple plays that go nowhere, bang, we throw in 140 yards down the sideline, touchdown. And because of the offense, all of a sudden it was a game.
Yeah.
Defense, that was it for the defense. Other than that,
there was nothing because the game starts. The game starts. Jaden Daniels throws the interception where I'm almost positive he's pulling it back because obviously the ball goes like 2 feet off the ground.
Right.
He's pulling the ball back as he sees it because Arkansas's game plan to me looked like they were trying to take away the short passes by getting their hands in the passing lane. Like that's what it clearly looked like to me. The defense line linebackers were all doing that. And he tries pulling it back at the last second. It goes right into the chest of the defender. So that's one. They hold him to three off that. Then there was the RPO action or the zone read action where Daniels keeps it and then gets it punched away like right as he tucks it, where they start at the 10 and they hold them to zero.
Yeah, Arkansas they got nothing.
Gets nothing out of it. I mean, the defensive consistency that this unit has is tremendous. It doesn't matter where on the field the opponent gets the ball. I feel like they're going to play the same way. They're going to be very consistent. They're not going to come in with their heads down, heads high. Like, I've just loved the way Matt House has coached this unit. Like, they've just been so good from top to bottom.
And a kudos before we kind of move on from D, or at least individually. We've given a lot of praise to Makai Wingo, who played great again today, picked up that ball that Perkins stripped at the end to seal the game. But Jaquelin Roy, once again, had a big game in the middle. He made some big stops late in the game. Kind of, you know, for 1 or 2 yards, it looked like it could have gone for more had he not been the one to get a hand on him. So, kudos all around. I mean, the defense won him the game, and we're not surprised by that because more often than not, LSU's defense has been better than their offense. So they needed that today, and they got it.
It's amazing because you think about it, Mason Smith out and Makai Wingo stepped in. He's been potentially all SEC caliber. Jaquelin Roy is still here. BJ Ojulari, and then, you know, wherever you want to call Harold Perkins, who's technically a linebacker, but, you know, you add him to the mix as far as a pass rusher goes and playmaker goes. It's one of the best defensive fronts in the country. We knew that coming into the year, and they've continued to do that. And that's why, if you are LSU and flip into the offensive side of the ball, we were hoping if you can just put together three possessions, then this game would be out of reach. And they couldn't do it. They could not get it going. And I think I want to start by giving credit to Arkansas's coaching staff. I just felt like they were really, really prepared in this game, which I know LSU fans don't want to hear that. It's like, oh, Arkansas.
No, but it's true, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Brian Kelly spent half his postgame talking about, saying, hey, look, we got to clean all these things up. But kudos to Barry Odom, who's a great DC, to Sam Pittman. Like, they knew they were going up there to get into a dogfight. And as you mentioned, that Arkansas, just how they played along the line of scrimmage, getting their hands up, staying active, blitzing a lot.
Yep.
LSU handled the blitz and a lot of stunts and different things against Bama extremely well. Today, it just wasn't the case. And LSU can be bad at something, and Arkansas can be good.
Yeah.
Kind of simultaneously there. I thought Arkansas was very good today defensively. But let us talk about the offensive woes. Let's get the good news out, then the bad news. The good news, your boy, former walk-on Josh Williams, 19 carries, career high, 122 yards, career high, the only touchdown of the game. He got banged up at the end. Brian Kelly did say he's fine. They had to take him out of the game, but he just couldn't finish it. But he'll be fine. Straight grinder. I mean, I don't remember what the term Brian Kelly used after. He kind of did the whole, like, look it up in the dictionary, and you'll see Josh Williams. Strained. You need 3 yards, he'll get it.
Yeah.
You need 5 yards, he'll get it. I thought he had another great game. He was huge a week ago. But you definitely don't win this game if you don't have him. They couldn't pass the football. They completed 8 passes.
Yeah, and he looked – and this is the first time – I don't know if I have, you know, exactly how to say this, but this is the first time where I've looked at him and been like, this guy looks like a playmaker out of the backfield. Like, for a lot of this year, and I don't know if that makes sense, but for a lot of this year, it's been like
Josh Williams. They were getting by with him, as we
mean. Josh Williams, give him the ball. He can get you 3-4 yards. He can pass protect. He can do all the little things right. Today, when he got the ball, he had that move in the gap, I believe in the fourth quarter, where he shook the Arkansas defender and got by him and got 9 yards off of it. Josh Williams looks incredible. Incredible with the ball. He's fighting for extra yards. He's keeping his legs turning. And, I mean, for a lot of this year and before the year, if you would ask me, you know, if to rank the running backs as far as just pure talent goes, like as far as like elusiveness, you know, breaking tackles, all that stuff, I would have had, you know, John Emery, Armani Goodwin, even the former high four-star Noah Cain guy. Like, Josh Williams looks the part as a running back now. And that's – he was amazing. He was great today.
It was special. All right, Jaden Daniels, what's our takeaway here? Because here's the reality. I have a bone to pick with the play calling, but I can also simultaneously say that I don't think Jaden was very good today at all. I think he played hesitant. As the game went on, it was very clear that he got hesitant with it.
I think those two turnovers bothered him. I that's what it felt like.
They both happened in the first quarter. So a guy who does not turn it over ever, really, has had one turnover all year, turns it over twice in the first 3 possessions of the game.
Yeah, that felt like it kind of put him in a position to where the defense is playing so well, he didn't want to be the reason they lost. And that is kind of reverting back to what we saw earlier in the year, right? With the Mississippi State game and the Florida State game, there were moments where, you know, he was playing not to lose the game. And that's what they kind of got him out of, I think, in the Florida game, you know, a lot of games. This year, Auburn is another game where he was hesitant as well. So, yeah, he was hesitant at times. I had a bigger issue with either the play calling, the preparation, and the offensive line. I just don't think that they really schemed up as well. It felt like they went into that game looking to throw the ball all over Arkansas, and then when Arkansas stopped them from throwing the ball, they didn't know what to do. Because remember, the first 2 possessions, they threw the ball almost every play. And we're like,
and we knew, we talked about it on the pod going in, Arkansas had one of the worst pass defenses in the country. And they were down multiple starters.
Exactly. Which is another reason why I give Barry Odom and that defense a lot of credit, because Jaden Daniels, the last 3 weeks, like if he doesn't get rattled, he wasn't rattled in the Alabama game. He wasn't rattled against Ole Miss. Like he wasn't rattled against Florida. We have multiple weeks now stacked up to where Jaden Daniels is proven to be a good quarterback and a confident quarterback now. And he's starting like his 40th game of his career. Like this isn't a new guy here. So I'm giving credit to Arkansas. And I really think Denbrock, after having some really, really good weeks, kind of didn't know exactly what he was getting with this Arkansas defense. And it took them a while to kind of settle in. And that's kind of resulted in some hesitation, some lack of confidence. And I mean, 8 of 15 for 86 yards with a pick from Jaden Daniels. He did have the nice throw to Kayshon, which set up the touchdown, which was the one highlight.
And even then, I think that, you know, that throw even came, you know, Kayshon slows down, has to make the catch when he had run a pretty good route and beat his man. So This is a day to forget for Jaden. Now, and I'll say this, and I'll say the same thing about the offensive play calling. I can move forward on this game with Jaden Daniels knowing that I have seen him play better than this, and I've seen it happen recently, and I've seen it strung together across multiple games. So he can be better than this. I don't have a worry on that. They're glad they won. Had they lost, then I would be really pointing to it and saying, there's your issue. You could not pass the ball on your 40th start. Sometimes you don't have a good game. Jaden didn't have a good game. Look, the line didn't play great. It wasn't there for him. Now, with play calling, here was my issue. And you can say the routes or, you know, they two guys were running too deep on their routes and the O-line was getting blitzed and they didn't have enough time to throw, all these nuances. When Josh Williams breaks off a 40-yard run late in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden you've got the ball on their side of the field and you had just come off drives, consecutive drives, when you ran the ball, you were getting yards. You then go drop back pass, drop back pass, drop back pass.
Yeah.
Sacked, you know, incomplete passes, nothing. Nothing. And then you've punted it to them. And then they did have the chance to, you know, ultimately go down on that drive and score, which they did. They converted a 3rd and 17 and hit the deep ball, a 40-yarder down the sideline. And it went from 13-3 looking like, okay, Arkansas really can't move the ball, so it won't matter, to just run the football, and they wouldn't. And that just blew my mind. And even on the final series when they got down there, they run the ball once, Josh Williams, 9 yards. Run it again, Josh Williams, 10 yards. Run it again, Josh Williams, 4 yards. Second down, they pass. Well, now they're behind in the sticks. I don't remember if they got a false, another procedural penalty there or just were behind in the chains. But I got to a point in the fourth quarter, and this is why they pay me no money to call plays, and Den Brock has made a career out of this. But I was just like, run it every play, and if you have to punt it, so be it. Just run it every single play. Because there was a stretch in the fourth quarter where Arkansas, they were running the same play over and over, and it was working, and they knew it. But to then just continue to go to the pass when you've completed 8 passes all game, 7 passes all game to that point, made no sense to me.
No, I agree.
That's my beef.
I think you laid that out really well. But that one instance where Josh Williams reels off a 31-yard run, and they're in the territory, and you're like, okay, just keep hammering it. And then it was, like you said, 3 straight passes, one of those being an RPO where Jaden saw nothing on the outside and just kind of tucked in and got sacked.
And to go back to Jaden for a second, and we've kind of summed up well what we think here. Look, he just had a bad game. I was probably the first time I have seen him rattled, and even rattled in a sense of like when there was – it was nearing the 2-minute drill, that play 2 minutes left in the game. Dre Jenkins gets a short pass, gets a first down. It was a very generous spot. I don't know. It didn't look like he got a first down, and LSU would have been at 4th and 1 right then. They end up then running it, burning all their timeouts, all that. Well, right before they burn all the timeouts, they had the play clock. I mean, the game clock was going whenever LSU went back down to snap it. It was like 208, 207, 206. And Jaden snaps it with 20-something seconds left on the game clock with Arkansas sitting there with 3 timeouts. And you saw after that play, Brian Kelly was ripping into him saying, let the play clock go down, let it go down, let it go down. So even in moments like that, when you started 40-plus games, all that, I just think he was in his head a bit of, how do we close this out? Why can't we get anything going? I don't know. It just was not the Daniels we've grown accustomed to seeing across the past month plus.
Yeah, I mean, I think the team, to a degree, had the same feeling as a lot of us watching the game. It was like, just get out of here with a win. Just find a way, escape, do whatever you have to get a win. And when you start playing that way, and it's so hard because, trap games, like anybody who's played any sort of sports, whenever you play someone you're quote-unquote supposed to beat, and things don't go right initially. I think Matt McMahon had a really good quote about this. The basketball coach, for those who don't know, had a really good quote about this after their first game. And they're playing right now. But he had a really good quote. He's like, when you play these games, guys just expect to come out and be up by 40, like right off the bat. And I think that's really a quote that kind of encompasses what athletes kind of think when you go into the game. And obviously, as a coaching staff, you try your hardest not to, you know, let that happen, not to let that sink in, but it's hard, man. You think these guys didn't know about Arkansas's pass defense being awful? They didn't know about KJ Jefferson not playing, obviously. Like, they feel all of this. So when the first quarter goes and the first half goes the way that it does, it's not easy. It's never easy, especially on the road in cold weather and stuff like that.
I'll say this too, and we'll go back to switching head coaching quotes here. I'll give you Brian Kelly's quote, and I agree with this because remember, Matthew, we talked about this all week. We saw it on the boards. We saw it on Twitter. LSU got bet more to cover this game than any other team in college football this weekend. And more, I saw at one point, than like 22 of the NFL teams, which never happens. Like college money being put on NFL games like that. Never. Because everyone said, what, LSU just beat Bama. Arkansas just lost to Liberty. 3 points? Are you kidding me? What do we know? 3 points. Yeah. This was going to be a close game. They woke up to snow. It was 30 degrees up there. All of the things we mentioned, including going up against a good team in Arkansas that can play defense. I mean, Barry Odom's a great DC. They are a physical football team. This game is in November when your team's just at different points of the season, whether worn down or you've got so much film on them to study or whatever it is. It's just tough to win. I'll give you what Brian Kelly said, and I completely agree with this because if I'm an LSU fan, this is how I'm digesting it. I'll give you his quote. This is from the postgame presser. He said, Arkansas was prepared. They were a great challenge for us, but we found a way to win on the road. That's really what this is about. When you play in a league like this, specifically in the SEC West, just find a way to win. That's what I'm proud of. I'm proud of our guys for having the mental toughness to battle and find a way to win a football game when we were challenged the way we were today. That's kind of my takeaway. I'm not sitting here disappointed. I'm excited we won the game in a very difficult environment. Our guys knew that. We're in a different realm now. We're being hunted. We're going to get everyone's best shot. They understand that. We have things to work on. We enjoy the victory. We'll get prepared for UAB and senior night. That's the reality of this situation. They know right now that they're getting everyone's best shot. They knew that this was probably going to be a close game. And no matter what, they found a way to win. And I actually loved it from Brian Kelly at the end when I hated it when he was going to go for it on 4th and 4 from like the 6-yard line and Kayshon false starts. And then you have to kick, which ends up being the winning field goal that you kicked, get your 3 points and move ahead, or at least help there with getting the 3 points. But I liked it at the end when he said, my analytics said, hey, that 4th and 1 near midfield was a go at the end of the game. We could have gone for that, sealed it, been done with it. But I made the decision as a head coach to understand what everybody saw. Our defense is better than our offense today. Punt it. It was shanked. Fortunately for them, they got a great bounce.
I can't believe that stayed in bounds, first of all.
Go down there, what? They pick up a first down, maybe, but within a few plays, Harold Perkins is stripping the football, just like you had probably thought he might be disruptive on that final play. He does just that. You get it. You win the game. So I like when you throw analytics out of the window. In the face of the offense stinks, you've already gone for it for 4th and 1 once, you failed. Don't do it again. Punt it. Let the defense do what they've done all day. You win the football game.
I don't know if analytics told them to do a fake punt on 4th and 6.
Bro, I don't even know what that was.
Not sure analytics told them that one.
The boldness on that one deserved a holding call or whatever they got flagged with for Mike Jones because, I mean, that was like on their own 10. And it was like 4th and 12 or something.
It was
he barely made it. He made it literally to the line.
Well, that's the whole thing is if he doesn't hold, you're saying it was Mike Jones. I'll take it on the holding call.
I think that's who might have got hit with it.
Okay, whoever it was, if they don't hold, Bramblett's not making that first down, and therefore it's first down from wherever the 20 or whatever for Arkansas. But it is a hold.
Smartest hold of the game.
They end up having to punt, which sets – I think Arkansas still got ball like midfield, but that's way different than 20. So just a crazy game. We all expected that. I really
– Oh. Well, look, LSU, a little live update. I'm looking at the TV. What, 24 up, Ole Miss, Bama, 15 minutes to go, fourth quarter. If Bama beats Ole Miss, LSU will be in the SEC championship. If Ole Miss wins, LSU will – either need to beat A&M, and if they don't beat A&M, they need Ole Miss to then lose to Arkansas or State. So interesting way to close this one out. Everyone's going to be listening to this podcast when Bama Ole Miss
after
is
the fact.
Yeah, if Bama does beat Ole Miss, then you will be knowing that LSU's in the SEC championship.
all it does for me is it allows us to plan adequately for that game. I still, if I'm an LSU fan, I'm still like, I don't care. We have to beat A&M. Because imagine going to that SEC championship game after losing to A&M. It just wouldn't – it would just feel weird. It wouldn't feel great. You got to beat A&M. You got to beat A&M. That's the bottom line for me. So, I know it's not technically a must win if Alabama ends up beating Ole Miss here, but I think it's a really, really necessary game because going to an SEC championship after losing to A&M and just wouldn't really sit right with me personally. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my take on it. So, but they got UAB next, one game at a time. You know, like Brian Kelly says, one game at a time. UAB, who is currently, let me check the score, beating my North Texas Mean Green 34-21 and about to score another touchdown. So it's a UAB team coming in off a big win against a good team. But, yeah, that's all we got. You got anything else, Shay, before we wrap it up? You're muted. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was on mute. Sorry. No, that's it. Yeah, I'll keep an eye on this Bama Ole Miss, but I am not – I'm not smashing any panic button today. The only goal at that Arkansas game at 11 a.m. in that weather with a 3-point spread was go up there, win, and don't get anyone injured. And that's what they did.
That's this, and that's going to be my same approach in the A&M game. Just get a win. Just get a win. I'm done with style points. You had your style points against Ole Miss and Alabama. Those are style points for that'll last you the rest of the year. Just win these two last regular season games. And just
get style points don't count for anything at this stage in LSU season. They just need to win games. That's it.
Exactly. All right. That's all we have for y'all today. We appreciate y'all watching, listening, wherever you are consuming the content. We appreciate it. Leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you are listening to our podcast, Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a like, comment, share, and subscribe to the channel. It helps us out a lot. So subscribe. Send it to a friend. You can ring the bell for notifications as well. And yeah, for Shay Dixon, I'm Matthew Bruni. We will talk to y'all later.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.